Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heard on the Street, Street Fights podcast, where we uncover the stories behind the companies and, more importantly, the people that constitute this sector of media and advertising that we all call local. So where are they from? What makes them tick? What business and life lessons can we draw from that? So I'm Mike Boland, lead analyst at Street Fight, and our guest today is Mike Meyer, CEO and founder of Quik, which is an innovator in messaging as a channel for brand marketing and customer service. So we talked to Mike from our studio in San Francisco about that journey and what we can all learn from it. So here's our discussion with Mike Meyer. So Mike, welcome to the program.
Awesome. It's great to be here.
Sure. So we have a lot to talk about, including diving deeper on some of those things I just alluded to. But first, let's start with a quick intro on you and Quik for those unfamiliar.
Thank you. I'm Mike Meyer, and I'm CEO and founder of Quik. I started Quik a few years ago with the observation that people in their personal lives, when they need to communicate, they get stuff done with text messaging. And when their interactions with businesses, today they're forced to use email and phone, and those aren't exactly the preferred methods of communication. So Quik is about to change that.
I think it's also there are a lot of macro trends that support that in terms of customer affinities and trending we're seeing around messaging as a platform where there's a high degree of comfort levels, especially among, you know, younger, increasingly buying empowered generations. So I want to get into a lot of that. But first, as we like to do on the show, we kind of hit the rewind button, find more about you and how you actually got into all of this. So let's start at the beginning of your career. Tell us about the kind of path that brought you into technology and media.
So I'm a computer scientist by trade, and so I'm a geek. Yep. And I guess I'm an unusual geek in the sense that, you know, the stereotypical perception of geeks is they just want to work with computers. But I like the intersection of how technology and people's lives work together. And so very early in my career, I went to work for a company that was no longer exists now, Bell Labs, way back in the day. Yep. So that makes me have a little bit of gray hair. Yeah. And I was able at the labs to really kind of cut my technology teeth. And it also gave me an opportunity to work on in a very early stage project that was focused on customer experience. And that's where I got involved in customer experience. And so my career went along from the labs. And I really didn't ever, I think in my early career, I didn't really ever think I'd want to be CEO. In fact, I always wanted to be the technology guy, like the guy who knew all the tech.
The guy who doesn't have to talk to anyone.
The guy who's in front of the screen solving the really hard logic problems.
Right.
And as I went along, you know, the logic problems became less interesting, and the human aspects of technology became more interesting. And here I am now. I don't touch a line of code, which is somewhat sad, but I deal with lots of difficult personal problems and you know, human interaction problems, and that's just as interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bell Labs, absolutely. As like a kind of a history buff when it comes to technology history, that of course has a key place in terms of like early work with the transistor and the technology transfer of Bill Shockley to Shockley Semiconductor in Silicon Valley, and then just kind of everything that happened from there. A lot of that started at Bell Labs, so that's very interesting. So let's kind of go one level deeper on Quik. So you gave us a great kind of thumbnail and the environment that compels it today, but tell us more about the value proposition and points of differentiation, particularly for like your clients. You I think characterized well, like for users that want to text as opposed to email or call. What are the things you're providing as points of value, and perhaps to kind of tell that story in showing rather than telling, any examples you may have of customers you currently work with and how you serve them?
Absolutely. So Quik is a next generation communication platform for businesses to communicate with mobile users. And we do that on mobile messaging. The channels that we support are things like SMS and text, which everybody knows very well, Facebook Messenger, Twitter, Apple Business Chat, Google Rich Business Messaging. We also support in-app messaging and web chat as well. So in some sense, you can say that Quik is the platform that covers all of the asynchronous messaging channels. Mm-hmm. And our customers use Quik for both pre- and post-sales use cases. In pre-sales use cases, maybe I'm on a mobile device and shopping for a product, and I need some help to get to the right answer or to the right product selection. And traditionally, those questions have been answered by send an email, but email's too slow. Like waiting for an email to come back is like watching paint dry. So if you're in the purchase process, you're going to go somewhere else to buy if you're on a brand's website where you have to interact with them on email. And, you know, making a phone call, well, there's a whole generation of people who are not very fond of phone calls. And yeah, I'm not even part of that generation. And I'm not very fond of phone calls because I don't like to set aside time to, 15 minutes to make a phone call. I don't have 15 minutes to set aside time in my life. I need to do two things at one time. And and so text messaging allows me to do two things at one time. So if I'm a consumer on a website and I'm on my mobile phone looking at the information and I need some more information, if I can text that company, we'll be the software on the other side of that conversation. So the consumer uses the messaging apps that they already use to communicate with family and friends. On the iPhone, it's iMessage. On the Android phone, it's the Messages app. And on the other side, in the call center, the contact center of the company, that's where Quick resides. And so our secret sauce is being able to run messaging at scale in the company. So that's the pre-sales use case. Obviously, that same communication pattern applies when I purchased a product and then need help. And so I go to the Contact Us page and I see a button there that says, text us for additional assistance. And then again, that's where Quick comes into play.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So do you have any kind of success metrics that you usually point to or any quantifiable evidence to support that value proposition when it's kind of plugged in on the back end for the companies you work with? I think I saw a number that you're working with Tailored Brands, which is the company behind Men's Wearhouse, and you decreased their call center volume, call volume, by 20%, offloading it to that more kind of messaging app-based communication, which is equals cost savings, right?
Yep. So there's two parts of the value equation. And let me first, cost savings is an important part from the company perspective, but we're all consumers. So what's the most important to the consumer? Well, it's our experience. And so from the consumer perspective, we've seen clients increase their customer satisfaction from rates of 5 to 20%
oh, wow.
increase.
And that equals retention, which is what they want, right?
Absolutely. And the in these situations, they'll take agents that were currently on the phone, put them in the messaging channel, and so the agents are giving the same answers, and a company might see an increase of 15 or 20. So as you know, before their phone channel might have been 75% satisfaction, and after the same agent went to the messaging channel, it was 90% satisfaction. And the difference there being solely the convenience of the channel. Like as a consumer, I don't have to set aside time to make a phone call. I can stop this interaction when I need to. Like I can start an interaction in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. I can put it on pause while I'm driving to work. I can pick it up again. Maybe I get into a meeting. I can't continue. I pick it up again later. And so that long running ongoing dialogue is what's unique about messaging. And so consumers love that. It just fits in with your life, not to mention that everybody does it all the time with their family and friends. So that's a win from the consumer standpoint. From the business standpoint, the win is, versus phone calls in particular, the win is that one agent can handle one phone call at one time. And phone calls are expensive. The average, I think, in the industry is like $5 or $7 a phone call. Mm-hmm. And what we see, and what you mentioned, some of the results that Tailored Brands has seen, is a reduction of 3 to 5 times in terms of the agent staffing costs, because an agent can be involved in multiple conversations at the same time. And texting tends to be terse, and phone calls, sometimes there's a lot of chit-chat.
It forces brevity, and
yeah,
it's an opportunity cost, really, is what that comes down to in terms of that agent's time.
Exactly, and then there's another effect that improves the agent's time as well, and that's the fact that messaging, everybody knows how to send pictures. Like even my grandparents know how to send pictures, right? Because they have, in order to interact with their grandchildren, they have to send text messaging. So when it comes to describing a problem, like I got the piece of furniture, the hinge on the left-hand side is damaged in shipment. was it the upper or the lower? You know, the 20 questions that typically gets asked when you're trying to describe something like that via voice can be completely avoided because the agent's like, are you on your mobile phone? Yes. Oh, just text me a picture right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's compelling. We're actually going to pause there for a commercial break. When we come back, more with Mike Meyer. Hi everyone, this is Mike Bolin, lead analyst with Street Fight, and I'd like to talk to you today about Street Fight in 2019. So we've got lots of good things cooking and lots of opportunities for you to get involved. So we're looking for guests on this podcast. We're looking for editorial contributions from thought leaders. We're looking for inspiring speakers at our events. And all of that really comes together in the rich mosaic that you've come to know as Street Fight's thought leadership in location-based media and advertising and commerce and innovation. And part of that formula are lots of opportunities to sponsor content and have your brand associated with that thought leadership. So stay tuned for lots more information and announcements for those rollouts, and reach out to us if you have any questions or want your voice heard in that chorus of narratives, including this podcast and messages like this one. So you can email me at michael@streetfightmag.com for more, and we're looking forward to working with you in 2019. So we're back. My guest is Mike Meyer. So Mike, before the break, we were talking about some of the ways you are helping your brand clients communicate with their customers through a messaging channel, mostly in the context of customer service queries. So to go a little bit deeper on that, you know, it seems like a lot of these messaging threads or messaging kind of activations between customer and brand are through some sort of, you know, pull-based customer service inquiry. They have a question about their order. They have a question about a product. Where can it go from there, actually, in terms of that relationship evolving? I know that brands always want to reach their customers in certain ways for, you know, different utilitarian types of messaging, different milestones in the course of a product order when it's being shipped, or just, you know, promotions on an ongoing basis. So what does that overall mix look like in terms of the types of messaging that they're sending on an ongoing basis?
Messaging isn't just about outbound, or isn't just about customer communications and inbound messages. It's also about outbound messages. And so if you think about the engagement and how brands have traditionally, in the last 5 years or so, they've engaged with their customers via email. And so this has resulted in just everybody's inbox being overflooded, and there's lots of spam. And so the good stuff gets mixed up with the bad stuff. And we hear from brands, for instance, that in the retail context, if a brand sends a shipping notification that, like, your order is confirmed or your order has been delivered, those shipping notifications get lost with all the other email, and there's still a 10 or 15% inquiry rate coming into the brand associated with where is my order. And the fact of the matter is, something like half of emails get read within 2 days or in the consumer context. And the reality of text messaging is about 98% of the texts get read in 5 minutes. Hmm. And so the obviously the channel needs to remain pristine. So you don't want to abuse the channel and send a lot of unwanted messages. But something like your order's just been delivered, or an opt-in to a coupon, or a notice that concert that you were waiting for, the tickets are now on sale. Those are all very proactive messages that you want to receive kind of in real time, and messaging is perfect for that.
Yeah, it's funny. That resonates with me, and this is just a sample of one, but I have several email addresses. I have one Gmail address, and I think a lot of people probably do this, that is solely for signing up for things, because you know that thing's just going to get spammed, right? But that's the same address I use when I am, like, ordering products, right? So those important messages, like your items being shipped or other kind of similar things, kind of get buried among all of the other spam. So that's certainly something that I think it's a pain point that you're addressing nicely. So let's go a little bit deeper. rich messaging is being rolled out by carriers over the next couple years, which is interesting. And I think ties back to some of the things you said earlier, where some of those customer service interactions can really be enabled through the ability to send pictures, depending on what, you know, their questions are. So what does that, like that inflection point in terms of better penetration of technology throughout messaging channels do for you in terms of your capabilities to serve, you know, your brand clients with just more robust ways to communicate with their customers?
You know, it's a super interesting time because while most brands are just learning about messaging and doing two-way communications via asynchronous messaging, in the background, like the technology is evolving so quickly that the folks who are implementing now, the capabilities of what they can do in 6 months is going to be significantly expanded. And so let me give you a couple examples. Yeah, everybody's familiar with SMS. It's the common universal form of texting. There's a new standard coming called RCS that will expand the types of messages that can be sent across the SMS. In addition, and the titans of the tech, I think, you know, Apple and Google and Facebook has talked about how private messaging is the future focus of the business. All the titans are focused on providing messaging channels, and there's different reasons for each titan to want to serve messaging. But as a result of that focus, the capabilities of the messaging channels are rapidly advancing. And so I'll give you an example. So there's Apple introduced a technology called Apple Business Chat about a year and a half ago that allows brands to privately message with consumers. And you know, it's a great technology. It's in the process of being adopted by the early adopter brands at this point in time. The way it works is in the past, in order to send a blue message, if you will, you know, if you're an iPhone user, in your iPhone iMessage app, if you send another iPhone user a blue message, that's an indication that that person is part of the Apple network and the message hasn't left the Apple network. Well, Apple's opened up that platform, that iMessages network, to business use as well. Hmm. And it's not just about sending messages between the business and the consumer. I mean, there's some goodness there. For instance, Apple is guaranteeing that the person that or the company that the person is connected with is has been verified and it's a secure connection. But then on top of that, because you know, the app itself can have additional capabilities on the phone. It's not just about sending text. It's about sending a message that might be a rich card. It might be a menu with a pick list. It might be a rich link with a preview of the image to be displayed. And so you can start to imagine that this concept of conversational commerce, yep, is a lot more than just sending and receiving text. It's actually sending and receiving text messages that have rich forms. And these are special messages that get rendered inside of the iMessage app. And the holy grail of that whole conversation is completing a transaction. And so, of course, you can send an Apple Pay message. Yeah. And so the Apple Pay message, you click on it, it's just like you're in the store holding your phone up to the cash register. You know, double click, thumb scan, you've made a payment just by sending a message. Yeah. And so this is very early stage. A limited number of brands are completing transaction across iMessage at this point in time. But I think this is the future. And this is like the capabilities and the possibility of the messaging channel is really going to expand over the next couple of years.
Absolutely. I think the transactional component is very compelling. Another thing that I've been looking at a lot lately, which kind of comes into this, is augmented reality. And when most people hear augmented reality, they think of Pokemon Go or Snapchat lenses where you're putting like dog ears or rainbow vomit on yourself. And it's in more of those kind of entertainment or kind of trivial based use cases. But the areas I'm looking at are deal with commerce enablement. And that's usually things like, you know, 3D visualizations of products, like put the couch in your living room before you buy it and it's a better, more informed purchase. But there are also, I think, some interesting customer service implications of that. There's a company that I'm tracking called Stream, which essentially enables home service visits. So this is local home services, plumbers, et cetera. And they're able to essentially have what's called see what I see support with the consumer. Another use case for that is cable representatives. When they're helping you kind of restart your modem and set everything up, they're doing so with one hand tied behind their back in the traditional kind of just verbal only customer service dialogue of explaining to a customer the complex hardware, where they find the Mac ID number and all that kind of stuff. With this, it gives them eyes and ears by letting the consumer hold up their phone, and that consumer rep can see exactly what they're seeing. Not only that, but make annotations, spatially anchored annotations on the screen, like point an arrow, push that button, et cetera. So it really just opens that up. And as you're talking about some of the technology enablement that's coming into the fold to just really expand the capabilities, that comes to mind too. So are you looking at AR in any way in terms of what you're doing, or is that probably further off in terms of comfort levels?
It's interesting. You would think that, wow, that must be way down the path in the future, like that can't exist today. Mm-hmm. But in fact, it actually does. We have a client that is a very innovative brand in the furniture industry, and you mentioned the furniture use case. I mean, this is the prototypical use case. Take a picture of my room, send it to the brand. The brand interacts with you, understands what your preferences are, and sends you back a couple different options.
Yeah,
of
mock-ups.
Mock-up. So, yeah. In this situation, the mock-up is AR. And so today in the messaging platforms, it's possible to send an AR message, and that's received on the phone. It has the picture of the room that you received, and in the room is the piece of furniture that we're suggesting, the brand is suggesting, and you can drag it around your picture.
Yep.
And even spin the item and reposition it. And so that all exists today. Super high tech.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Apple a lot and what they're doing through the messaging platform, more enablement, things like bringing in payments. They also have the USDZ file format, which is a 3D file format they're increasingly enabling through Safari and other kind of Apple products to infuse some of those like 3D interactions, whether it be in a customer service context or something else. So I think that just opens the door for lots of different interesting things that could happen. So we're actually going to pause there for another commercial break. When we come back, more with Mike Meyer. Hi, everyone. This is Mike Bolin, lead analyst with Street Fight, and I'd like to talk to you today about Street Fight in 2019. So we've got lots of good things cooking and lots of opportunities for you to get involved. So we're looking for guests on this podcast. We're looking for editorial contributions from thought leaders. We're looking for inspiring speakers at our events. And all of that really comes together in the rich mosaic that you've come to know as Street Fight's thought leadership in location-based media and advertising and commerce and innovation. And part of that formula are lots of opportunities to sponsor content and have your brand associated with that thought leadership. So stay tuned for lots more information and announcements for those rollouts, and reach out to us if you have any questions or want your voice heard in that chorus of narratives, including this podcast and messages like this one. So you can email me at michael@streetfightmag.com for more, and we're looking forward to working with you in 2019. So we're back. My guest is Mike Meyer. So Mike, before the break, we were talking about all of the different kind of emerging technology that is really intersecting with messaging to really kind of unlock some present and future capabilities for what you're doing. So on that same thread of expansion, but perhaps slightly different, I'm wondering about the different types of products or different product verticals that you're currently working with. I mean, does your technology map well to certain things? We talked about apparel, or is it more of a horizontal play? And also as a corollary to that, are there any areas that are, you believe, untapped in terms of how your technology maps to different types of products and enabling these customer services experiences?
Our technology works really well horizontally. And so let me give you a couple of examples. And there's a huge diversity of use cases here. So we've talked about retail a number of times in this conversation. And retail is kind of like a no-brainer, either in the pre-purchasing process or in the post-customer support or in the follow-up notification or offers. Like all those use cases are kind of like dead down the middle of the fairway for retail. You know, other verticals where we've had success. We've had good success with online services, folks who are in subscription businesses or providing services online. Another great vertical for us has been travel and hospitality. And so not necessarily the hotel check-in process. There's a whole set of other vendors who are kind of like focused on the hotel particular use case, but sure. the central booking or interacting with an airline while I'm traveling, those are all like great use cases for us as well. Gaming has been an interesting use case for us. And gaming, travel, retail, like there's such a huge diversity. We've got a number of clients in the gaming space, and clearly the folks that they're interacting with are the messaging, the texting generation. And so they want to be more interactive and more available and more easy to communicate with their prime customer base. So that's another good vertical for us. The last one I'll call out is finance and consumer financial. And so it's not just about client services in that use case, but it's also about credit and collections. And so we've seen some really great use cases where companies have been able to adapt their bill collection methodology and use texting because, frankly, if you're behind on your bills, the last thing you're going to do is answer a phone call from somebody that you don't know because you don't want to talk to a bill collector. So you're never going to answer the phones, and you probably don't listen to voicemail either. Your voicemail box is probably full, but you will read a text. And so we've seen some businesses who have done, a very kind of friendly collection process through text messaging. And obviously, the client has to opt in before receiving these messages, but have been really effective at like sending graceful reminders to people to let them know that their bill's past due.
Yeah, the travel use case particularly resonates with me. It makes a lot of sense, especially on the day of travel when immediacy, anytime there's like an emergency, urgency or immediacy, it seems that use case particularly maps well to the immediacy of messaging as opposed to like dialing a number and sitting on hold. So that makes a lot of sense. So to segue into our lightning round where we, take the chance to find out more fun stuff about you, one question we sometimes ask our guests is about the places they live and work, and it just gets into more of like a kind of quality of life discussion. And I think this maps well to you. And we normally ask this question when people are living in cool places. Like I'm in San Francisco. If another guest is in San Francisco or New York or usual suspects, that's boring. But, you actually divide your time, which I think is interesting. And not just that, the mix itself is Bozeman, Montana, and New York, which seem like polar opposite places to get the kind of best of both worlds in terms of like quality of life. So kind of how do you pull that off? What was the inception of that? And tell us a little bit about like how you live and work with that mix.
Sure. So a word or two about how I got there. I grew up on the East Coast and along the way fell in love with the Rocky Mountain West. And so I just decided I picked up and moved to Bozeman, Montana. And we ended up in Bozeman because we had the idea that the world was flat before the book got written. So in order to build an internet business, you just needed a great source of talent, high quality of life, and an internet connection. And nice. we did that in Bozeman. And so I was living very happily in Bozeman. And a number of years ago, I met a woman who is now my wife, and she was based in New York City. Ah. And when she met, she said, she's living in the greatest city in the world, and she can't imagine living anywhere else. And I was like, oh yeah, I live in utopia. And so as a result, as a result of that, I think we both compromised a little bit. She loves Bozeman, I love New York, and we spend some time in both cities.
Yeah, well, that works out. And I had it a little bit easier when I met my now wife. We lived three blocks away from each other, so that was a little easier here in San Francisco. Okay, so let's go into the lightning round. So just kind of quick answers on various questions that let us kind of find out more fun stuff about you. So what's something about you that few people know about?
So and this kind of like ties to like what do I do in my spare time as well. Mm. I have an unusual side hustle, if you will, and that is I help people enjoy the Montana backcountry through an outfitting business. So when I take some time off of the summer, oftentimes it's to go into the backcountry with some guests on a guided trip.
Ah, that's pretty cool. So this might come to the next one, the next question on the list, which is, what's a profession you'd want to have if you weren't doing what you do now? And sounds like it could be some form of docent or like tour guide.
Sherpa. No, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's one aspect. You know, if you completely cleared the slate and said, there's one thing that you'd like to do that if you completely changed your life, like what would you like to try? You know, there's all kinds of crazy things I'd like to try. I'd like to try to do like a mission on a submarine.
Oh, nice. That's a cool answer. I can say we have never heard that one. so next, and this is going to be good because of your perspective and your kind of rap sheet in terms of all the great companies you've worked for and the reputable and notable ones. What's like a company or tech startup that you'd want to be like part of in the early days, like most exciting to be either a fly on the wall or like part of that as it got off the ground?
I think probably a lot of people would give the same answer here. I'd die to be part of Google in the early days. Like so interesting. Like the culture, the opportunity, the momentum, you know, the whole bunch of things Google would have been so interesting. You know, going back and further in time, and you mentioned it earlier on, I would have loved to have been around Bell Labs in the early days of the transistor. And kind of like just this concept that suddenly we can store state on devices without writing it on paper. Yep. Like that would have been mind blowing at the time.
Absolutely. What's your favorite tech product or app that you use as a consumer?
I've got to admit, I can't live without my iPhone.
Yep.
No, like the most useful device. I'm probably a little bit addicted to it. I should put it down more often. Shouldn't check it so frequently. But yes, my iPhone is a good friend.
Nice. Who's someone from the business world, and that can be alive or dead, that you admire most?
I'm going to name two people and their partners in crime. So Dave Duffield and Anil Bushri are the founders of Workday. Mm. And prior to working in Workday, Dave was the founder of PeopleSoft. And so they sold a business to the PeopleSoft business to Oracle, but they knew the industry really well. And they came back around the second time, and they built a much bigger business, Workday, and super successful, doing really well. Like, but they did it with the knowledge of having done it once before. Yep. And that's actually my playbook for starting quick, because the previous Right Now experience, where we helped lots of large brands deliver customer service on what I would classify as now the antiquated channels, has given me the insight to do this next time around, but hopefully 10 times better.
Yeah, that's great. And you can tell true competency from luck when someone is able to have lightning strike twice in the ways that they did. So that's inspiring.
Yeah, true. It's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. What superhero power would you most want to have?
I think this is probably cheating, but I'd love to see the future.
Yeah, that's not. I think that's a supernatural power. That's great. I think that's a good one. We normally ask, what are some passions or hobbies that help you mentally unplug from work? You mentioned your work in the backcountry. You can go with that if you want, or any others you want to mention.
You know, that's definitely the unplug mechanism. It's not just necessarily with guests, but the ability to – we live in a great place in Bozeman, and the ability to you know, do 4 hours of work in the morning and then completely disconnect at a place where maybe no one has ever hiked before on the top of the mountain. Like doing those two things in the same day or that's how I decompress.
Yeah, that's enviable, I'll tell you. So lastly, what are some of your personal goals for the remainder of the year?
So this might sound a little self-serving, but my personal goal for the end of the year is that every consumer in the U.S. has had some form of meaningful interaction with a large brand via text messaging. And there's a lot of people today where you say, we describe what we do, and they're like, that's great. I wish I could deal with ABC in that way. And I'm like, I know, I want to quit. They should deploy, that brand should deploy quick. And so my goal is to increase the awareness from consumers that they actually start to demand messaging from brands.
Yeah. And I don't know what the current penetration is in terms of the world of brands that have adopted messaging, but there would seem to be a large headroom for you to grow, which is, I think, an important business metric for the optimism for what you're doing. So that's actually all the time we have. So I want to thank you, Mike, for spending time with us.
It's been great. Thank you.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. And thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes of Heard on the Street. You can find us on streetfightmag.com, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and stay tuned for lots more writings and multimedia from Street Fight. So this has been Heard on the Street. I'm Mike Boland. Thanks for listening.